today. Last week, we invited you kind of to engage in an adventure of renewal, emphasizing our 21 days of prayer and fasting. Today, kind of go into a different kind of adventure. Today, I want to kind of just teach this morning and make disciples today pertaining to this new adventure, the adventure of relationship. Everybody say relationship. The reason why we're emphasizing this today is because it is Connect Day. And we're going to find out today that God had a plan for the early church for them to be very close and to make a difference alongside one another. And he had a phenomenal and supernatural outcome when his church did what he said to do. And so I want us to become a great church that really connects in community and relationship with one another and with him. And so we're emphasizing today discipleship through community. Everybody say community. Amen. So really, it's a lean in type message today. I'm just going to be talking to you today about some of the attributes of the early church and seeing the difference that they made. Jesus had a big deal to make about this. All right. And so here we go. Y'all ready for the word of God today? How many of you guys love the word of God? Amen. Do this for me. Let's pray a blessing over you. Y'all stretch your hands over me this morning and let's pray and ask God to prepare our hearts and prepare me, God, to do a great work and to speak into your life today. Father, I love you. Thank you so much, God, for the chance that I have this morning to share your word. And God, I just ask that you affect our lives by the spoken word today. And Lord, we love you and we thank you in advance for lives changed and people encouraged, God, and people more equipped and better equipped to connect with one another and with you today. We love you and thank you for doing that, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. And by the way, at the conclusion of the message today, we do have a small business information item for the church. Stick around, and we're going to go over an announcement that we need to make, a business announcement today, just to keep you informed about something before you go. Everybody got it, guys? But if you got it, say a good one. Come on. Amen. Amen. In order for us to understand this morning God's plan and God's will pertaining to relationships and community and what he intends to do through the life of the church, we really need to go back and look at the example of the early church. And we're focusing on Acts chapter 2, 46 and 47 today. This is the go-to life group scripture. But we'll look at that closely today. But here's why we're looking at it. You can read a lot of this on your screen this morning. The first community of believers reflected the power and the design of God in their lives as a family, the way Jesus intended. God intends for us to conduct our lives together as the family of God. You are the body of Christ. And when we talk about a body, I'll speak on this a good bit. We talk about the body, it means that you are a member of a body. You're one member, but together we're one body. And Jesus intends for us to be effective, okay, as a body, a unit of believers together, all right? So here's something that happened. When you read the scripture, what you find out is this. In Acts chapter 1, the body of Christ, the church, had about 120 people in the church. Y'all remember that story, don't you? Amen. Jesus ascended on a cloud with about 500 people watching him ascend on a cloud. But only 120 people obeyed him to tarry in Jerusalem for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so the church had about 120 people in it on the day of Pentecost. But if you jump ahead in Acts chapter 21, what you find out is from Acts 1 to 21, the church went from about 120 people to about 50,000 plus people in the church. Huge, astronomical, exponential numbers there. From 120 to 50,000. So something happened, didn't it? Something happened, something miraculous, something spectacular happened. And I'm training this morning because I would love to see Locksley Church begin to see exponential results blessed by God because we align ourselves with the way Jesus said to do it, the way this early church did it. Can y'all receive that? Now, this is for all of us together. It's for you individually, but all of us together. God has a great plan. Amen. Amen. Thank God. And so looking at some things today, let's look at Acts 2:46. I want you to pay close attention to these awkward behaviors. All right. Look how the early church responded to Jesus, and they made a great difference. Look what it said. They worshiped together at the temple each day. Are y'all reading this? They met in homes for the Lord's Supper. They shared their meals with great joy and generosity. Y'all seeing these traits, guys? Verse 47 says this, all the while praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And look what happened. These were the supernatural results. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Come on, somebody say every day. Every day. This was the astronomical exponential result of God when the people of God aligned their behaviors and their commitments with the way Jesus said to function. God turned around and blessed them and added to the church every day those who are being saved. Can y'all receive it, guys? I want you to see the answer here is very simple. The culture that they built was in obedience to the instruction of Jesus. How many realize this morning, if you'll just do what the book says to do, you're going to be all right and have success? If you do what God says to do, the way he says to do it, you can believe and receive his answers and his results in our life. Thank God. So what did he say? What did Jesus say? Let's look at this. I love this. It's John 13 and 34. What did Jesus say? And I love it. He says, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. And this is what we see in the life of the early church. We really see all of these activities and these actions and these behaviors, but they're aligning because they're in deep love with one another. Here's what Jesus said. I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Love each other. Come on, everybody say love each other. How thoroughly and completely does Jesus intend for us to love one another? Look on. He said, just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Wow. How many realize this morning that's a lot of love? Okay, that's a whole lot of love. All right. He intends for us to love each other with passion and zeal and great levels of commitment. All right. He goes on to say this in verse number 35. And here's where I kind of want to land for just a moment. He said this. He said, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Your love for one another is what's going to make the difference to prove to the world that you are my disciples. Are y'all following this one? Now, I want you to be encouraged, and I want you to really put yourself in this predicament today. There's something that we need to see here to grasp a hold of this morning, because as we talk about entering into an adventure of relationship, we need to do it the way God intends for us to do it. Jesus intends for the world to see what his impact is on our life. He intends for the world to look at you individually. He intends for the world to look at the life of the church and get a demonstration of what it looks like when he comes in and changes you. Why am I dealing with this? Because there are so many precious people who are trying and struggling through. And I'll tell you this right now. If you are living less by less standard than Jesus died for you to live today, you can get your mind made up to embrace the zeal of God, embrace the commitments of the Holy Spirit, and embrace the life that he died to secure for you and begin to live big like God intends for you to live. That can happen today. He said this, your love for one another, it's going to prove to them that you're my real disciples. I can't get off of that one right there. See, you can think about it like this. He wants us to be the living proof of how his love changes things. Everybody say living proof. He wants us to be the living proof of what life looks like when he comes in and changes your heart, changes your mentality, changes your mind concerning the world and your life and how you relate to other people and how you relate to the world. Jesus made a difference in our lives together as well as individually. Should look like he has made a difference. He wants the world to see the difference in us. Amen. So when we do what he says to do and live and love the way that he intends for us to live and love, what are the results? Look closely. Verse 47 again, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who are being saved. Come on, somebody. Those are the results of a great people, deeply committed to one another in great love because God has come into your life and enabled you to finally be over who you used to be and what happened to you, finally be over the world's mentalities and attitudes so that you can live with the depth and the understanding and the great levels of commitment and love that Jesus intends for you to live with. Thank God, thank God. Notice who builds the church. Look closely. That scripture says the Lord added to the fellowship. So who builds the church? Come on, everybody say, Jesus builds the church. Jesus builds the church. Now, I'm talking about discipleship today because I want you to be so equipped and so ready to be a great disciple maker, but there's a mentality about disciple making and church building that some of us need to shake off and align with the Word of God just a little bit if we're going to be great at this. Jesus builds the church. In fact, here's what he said in Matthew 16. He said, I will build my church, and the powers of hell will not conquer. Come on, somebody. How many know he's the church builder? Now, there's a problem with understanding him as the church builder if we're always trying to build the church. Now, we're going to really challenge some traditional ideas for a few moments here, but I want you to be equipped with this. Since Jesus is the church builder, what is our responsibility? Our responsibility is to make disciples. He's the church builder, we're the disciple makers. Can y'all see the difference, guys? Somebody may be wondering, hey, Pastor Brandon, isn't that really the same thing? Well, not really, and I'll talk to you about why in just a moment. But first, let's find out what Jesus told us to do. This is called the Great Commission. We've been reading this our whole lives. It's in Matthew chapter 28. Here's what the Lord said. He said, therefore, go. Come on, everybody say go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Again, come on, everybody say go. He intends for us who are believers to be about the business of going. That means to seek and find those people who need to be made into a disciple of Jesus. Go and make disciples. Pastor Brandon, isn't that really church growth? No. And let me tell you why. Church growth is when God's Spirit comes in and changes somebody's life and regenerates their heart. The Bible says gives them a brand new heart. And that person is born again. You can't save anybody. You cannot accomplish the spiritual work of conversion in anybody's life. But you can become a great disciple maker. Are y'all seeing the difference yet? It's very difficult. Disciple making is very difficult. I'm going to talk about the differences in just a moment. Here's the Great Commission completed. Here's what he said. Verse number 20. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. You and I have got this huge responsibility to be great disciple makers with our life. And here's why so many people don't really understand or want to do that, because disciple making is an investment and it's difficult. There's a difference between inviting people to church and making disciples. So how do we do it? Here's what you need to understand. Jesus grows the church. You and I make disciples. Just let me pastor everybody today and train us on something that's going to take our church to the next level this year. If I can just get a handful of people understanding this principle today about relational ministry and relational model of discipleship, then you're finally get over some things in your life and some incredible things will happen in the life of the church. Jesus grows the church. He showed us exactly how to do it when he simply said to people, follow me. Everybody say, follow me. Come on. Follow me. That's what Jesus did. This is how he modeled relational discipleship with his life. He said, follow me. And I want you to see this very, very carefully. Look closely. Christ's disciple-making example was a relational model of effective ministry. Now, what are you asking me to do, Pastor, this morning? I'm asking you to get out of that concept, the mindset that you're being a great witness just by inviting people to church. Guys, listen, following me into a relational investment or a relational aspect of discipleship is different than just inviting somebody to church. Get a hold of it. We've been here. We've been stuck for a long time. Everybody say one more time, follow me. Come on, here's the difference. Look closely at this idea here. This is where some people are stuck. You can think about it this way. Adventure of relationship. Well, it's come see versus follow me. So many years, a lot of people have been stuck in this concept of come and see or come and look and come and then trying to get people to come into the life of the church. But that's not what Jesus said to do. I want you to see it closely this morning. All right, now there's a lot of you can do. You might get a lot of people to come and see something about church. Come and see this amazing programming that's going on at this church or that church. Come and see. Come and experience this amazing program, this amazing music ministry, this amazing kids or youth ministry or some dynamic preaching or whatever it is. Come and see. And sometimes we better be very careful because we're really just inviting people into a scenario by which we're trying to convince them to like our church better than some other church. And you can get a lot of people to pack a church out with the come and see method. But here's the problem with the come and see method. The come and see method might pack a lot of people into a church, but the come and see method does not develop anyone into a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm impressed by some of these great churches that have these big dynamic programs and everybody's buzzing about it and talking about it, and it's just so impressive. God bless them, and I hope they're also making disciples. But church, eventually, some storms of life are going to come into your life, and you better have more going on the inside than just the ability to say, my church has got it going on. You're going to need to have something on the inside that somebody has helped God put inside of you through a relational investment of time and love and relationship, and somebody saying, you know what, don't just come and see, take me by the hand and follow me into my life of Jesus. Are y'all following me, guys? Here's the thing this morning. There's a lot. Here's where we've been stuck for a lot of years. We had this mindset, well, I've got to be a great witness. That means I've got to beat the streets, and I've got to go out here, and I've got to witness to people one-on-one, and I've got to tell everybody I can the gospel and try to get somebody saved over and over and over. And you know what? That's great, and I hope everybody witnesses. But I'll tell you this, sometimes we need to see the quality over quantity when it comes to disciple making. I hope you witness every day to somebody. But there is a difference. You probably understand this. I've been witnessing to people. Somebody might tell me, well, I've been witnessing to people all my life for years and years, looking for chances to witness. I tell them the gospel. I tell them my testimony. Every now and then, once every few years, I might even get somebody to hold my hand and lead them in a sinner's prayer. And I can say, well, I led them to the Lord, and thank God you did. Amen. But there's an issue there. It's not really the relational model set forth by the church or by Jesus, because here's the thing. If everybody in here who is an equipped believer goes out here and witnesses to everybody that you can all day long, all year long, every weekend, beating the streets, witnessing for Jesus, you may or may not get to pray with somebody. You may or may not ever see that person again. Y'all hear me, guys? But if everybody in here who's an equipped believer takes just one person this year, come on, watch now, just one. One person this year and invites them into a follow me relationship. Can y'all understand this, guys? If every person just targeted one individual that's not yet a disciple and says, hey, follow me, Luke, follow me. I'm not going to have to worry about beating the streets every weekend. You know why? I'm disciple making right here. Are y'all watching this, guys? And what does this look like? I'm going to pour into Luke, and I'm going to pray with him. I'm going to demonstrate my life. I'm inviting him to follow me. In other words, I'm going to show him what it's like to pray over needs. I'm going to show him what it's like to get and dig into the Word of God. I'm going to support him and call him and pray for him. I'm going to invest my time and my life into this young man right here. And you know what? If everybody in this room just did one this year, the church doubles in a year. I'm getting somewhere now. Y'all seeing why we're talking about this now, right? Here's the thing. It's not about, okay, Jesus loves you. Will you pray? Yeah, I'll pray. All right, go back to your life. I'll never see you again. Call me if you need me. The enemy is going right after that brand new baby Christian. He's not equipped. He don't have the Word of God deep in his life. He doesn't have experience. He don't know the Word of God. He don't know where to go. He doesn't know anybody else in the life of the church. And I've essentially led him into a den of wolves. Because once you begin serving God, don't you think for a moment that the enemy is going to let up on you. Once you start serving God, the enemy is going to put a target on your back, and he's not going to rest until he takes you down. And you're going to need somebody in your life who has shown you, invested in you, and walked you through the trials of life and demonstrated how to trust God, how to pray, how to live big for God, how to be faithful to church, how to give, how to serve, how to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's what it takes. That's the difference between come and see and follow me. Can y'all receive it, guys? Now, everybody in here, find somebody. Here's the issue. This is training this morning so that we can all begin to see and understand the Jesus model of church growth. It's relationships. It's why we emphasize life groups in our church. It's no coincidence that these big successful churches that have embraced this group model and this relational model of ministry years ago are now turning their counties and communities upside down. Because they decided at some point to align their philosophy and their commitments to what this book says to do. Amen, everybody. And that's what we're doing here. That's why Connect Day is so important. It's for everybody. So let's find out, what does that look like for a church? Oh, I've showed you what it looks like for an individual. Aren't you glad somebody invested in you? All it takes is you discipling one person this year. Somebody that, how does that go about? I'll tell you, I've done this before. I'll tell this little story. Maybe he won't run into it online and get embarrassed. Had a job I hated one time. You ever had a job you hated? I've worked some of the worst jobs to support me and my family in the ministry. I had a job I couldn't stand one time. But there was a guy working there that wanted to fight me all the time. And I was living big for God, and he didn't just want to annoy me. He wanted to fight me. And I always thought, you're crazy. Because he didn't weigh but like 200 pounds. And to me, you don't really mess with me if I saw you. Come on, Amy. He would do everything he could. I had a picture of Karen up in our workspace, and he would come by and make snide remarks about my wife. He would make remarks about Karen that would cause you to make you want to fight. But I had my mind made up. I'm going to make a disciple out of that guy instead of fighting him. So no matter what he said or did, I decided to love on him. And finally, one day, after several months of this, he came up to me and he said this. He said, I got to talk to you. And I said, okay, what? And he said, what is it? What do you mean? What is it about you? No matter what I say, no matter what I do, you won't get mad and fight me. And I just looked at him. I said, man, it's Jesus. And then I said, God's got a plan for your life. And as soon as you stop running from God, you're going to begin to finally feel the peace that you need. And you're not going to be an angry person that wants to fight all the time. And he looked at me and he said, I don't believe it. But I didn't give up. I doubled down. The very next week, I invited him to church. He told me no. So I invited him to lunch. He said yes. And on the way to lunch, I was playing my CD of DC Talk. Y'all ever heard of them? I'm aging myself right there on that one. And he said, man, I didn't realize Christians put out music like this. And I said, oh, yeah, we got some good stuff. And he had to listen to the lyrics. And then the next week he said, hey, can you give me a copy of that CD? And I knew I had him. I was kept quoting the scripture over him. Here's what happened. Finally, one day he came to me. And he said, man, something's not right. I just can't sleep at night. All I think about is our conversations and our talks. Are y'all hearing me, guys? And it took an investment. One day after work, and the last thing that we did every day in this particular job was we loaded the UPS truck at the warehouse, and then we clocked out and left. And one day, we loaded up the truck, and we left, and I noticed that he followed me out the door. And he was just, and finally he flagged me down. And that day, I'll never forget that day. It was on a Friday afternoon. That day, he came up to me and hugged me. We knelt on the side curb right there on the side of the street, and I got to pray Jesus with him. Come on, somebody. Amen. Watch this closely. It took more than a verbal witness one time, two time, three time. It took a relationship build. Amen, everybody. It took a relationship build. And then, by the way, when he got saved, I didn't leave him alone. Months later, we're still friends. I'm still praying for him and talking to him. Here's what happened. He goes to church. He marries his girlfriend. He adopts her daughter, who wasn't his, and becomes her daddy. Come on, somebody. You talk about redemptive purpose. And the last time I talked to him, which was just a couple of years ago, they were still going to church at the same church, loving and serving the Lord. And now they're a Christian family, and little girl's got a daddy. And come on, somebody. Amen. But it takes a follow me relationship. So let's look and see what this looks like for a church. I want you to see these traits. Are y'all receiving this today, guys? Just a few more minutes. Watch closely. Here we go. 8 traits of the first Christians. And notice these very awkward behaviors. We read these in verse 46 and 47 a few moments ago. Let's look and see some of these. Okay. Number one, they worshiped together every day. Every day, the Bible says. Man, how they prioritized worship. These were people who knew the goodness of God. And they loved to develop and cultivate intimacy with God and with one another. They worship every day together. Come on. Hey, some of us feel stretched just getting here every Sunday. Come on. They worshiped every day. By the way, what I want you to see here is this. Remember what Jesus said? He said, your love for one another is going to be the proof. You're going to prove to the world that I am who I say I am. And here's how they did it. They worshiped together every day. Amen. Don't you love worshiping God? Let's fly through these. Number two, they meet in each other's homes. That's an awkward behavior for today, isn't it? Because everybody is so busy and so eat up with their time and so dedicated to other things that we don't have time to be hospitable like we should be. But notice, these are some of the behaviors that the world looks at and says, what's different about you guys? Come on now. Number three, look closely. They take communion together. Verse 46 said they took the Lord's Supper together. And they did this because they needed to keep Christ in the center and the focus of their life, which is why we do it. They took communion together. All right? Look, what else they did. They share meals together. Are y'all seeing a trend here, guys? This is a relational model of kingdom building and disciple making. Sharing life together. For too long, guys, I'm going to be done here in just a moment, but watch closely. For too long, we've had this Western mindset about church that if we get rear ends in seats and can count all the nickels and noses, we must have a successful ministry. But let me tell you this right now. Our ministries are going to be successful as a church and as a pastoral ministry when you are being equipped to champion life, to be a great witness for Jesus, to have the kind of relationships that the world looks from the outside into here and says, I want what you've got. I want what you've got. Those people are spectacular. They're special. They love one another. Come on, somebody. Next. They're joyful. Number five. They're joyful. Look at verse 46 said. They're full of joy. They're people who are known for their great joy in their life. Amen. They're generous. Everybody say generous. They're known for their generosity. Well, Pastor Brandon, how generous were they? Well, we emphasize giving a lot in our church. And man, this is how you tap into the provision and the blessings of God. Those were people who were so generous. The Bible says that a lot of those people gave everything they had. They gave. This was the culture they built. This is what the Bible says in Acts 2. Watch this closely, guys. The Bible says they gave and were so generous, they gave so that not one person in the church had a need. That's what Acts chapter 2 says. They gave until not one individual in their body had a need. Wouldn't that be something? Now, that's spectacular right there. Those are the kind of attributes and traits which cause God to add daily. And there's two more. Right, real quick, look here. They praised God. Oh, my goodness, how they praised God. Praise God, praise God. Praise God. Number eight, finally, they love and enjoy each other. This is what the Bible says. They love and enjoy one another. This is the culture of the kingdom, these attributes, which caused the world to look into this life that we have and say, I want to be part of that. Thank God, thank God. How many realize today, I'm almost done, we need each other. We need one another. Even Jesus needed his friends. Take a look at this picture. I love this painting. Look at this thing of Jesus. It's an issue here. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And you guys know this story. The Lord has been preparing his life to go to this moment. And he's given it all. He's about to pray. And this particular prayer that Jesus is praying, depicted in this picture, is in John chapter 17. And you guys know the story. He was in travail and he was wondering, how am I going to make it through? I feel so alone. By the way, when we're talking about this, if Jesus needed his friends, guess what? You need your friends. If Jesus demonstrated that he needs support from those people that God put in his life, you better believe you're not immune to having needs of people in your life. We need each other. Y'all know this story. Jesus had said this in verse 38 of 26 of Matthew. He said, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. And then he told his friends, stay here and keep watch with me. In other words, he's, guys, I'm coming to the close of my life. I'm about to be arrested. I'm about to be scourged. I'm about to be convicted of sins and crimes that I've never done. And they're going to hang me on a cross. In this moment, another portion of scripture says his grief was so intense that his sweat was like drops of blood. Guys, just pray with me. Just watch over me while I pray and prepare my life for this. But the Bible says that he prayed 1 hour, he went back, and his friends were asleep. And he woke them up. And he said, can't you just pray with me for an hour? So he went back to pray again. At that time, he probably prayed the part where he said, Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. Yet, not my will, but your will be done. And he goes back to his friends. And guess what? They're asleep again. If the Lord has needs of friends and support and people and relationships, guys, we need them too. Amen, everybody? Can y'all receive it today, guys? We've demonstrated today the relational model, the follow me invitation, the investment that it takes. I'm hoping that you're thinking of someone in your life that the Lord may lead you to. What does that look like, Pastor Brandon? Well, it looks like this right here. Maybe somebody's talking to you at work or at school or in your family. You say this to your heart and to the Lord and to the person. I invite you to be a disciple of Jesus. Well, I don't know how to do that. That's okay. Just follow me. Just follow me. Come on, everybody say, follow me. Come on. Just follow me. Just follow me. I'll show you. You mean I'm going to invite you to church and make you sit and listen to the preacher every Sunday? Yeah, I'm hoping that happens, but that's not where we begin. We begin with support and friendship and love and phone and relationships. Amen. With encouragement and time and investment. How many does it take? One. Can you do one? I think so. I think we all can. Can y'all receive it today, guys? I hope you've been edified by this teaching today. If so, come on, let's give God a great praise right now. Love you, Jesus. Love you, Jesus. Love you, Jesus. Father, this morning I pray for every person. God, I thank you for the chance, God, to be a great disciple maker, God. I pray that your people have been so encouraged today. But Lord, use us. God, help this church become like that Acts 2 church. People whose love and life can prove who you are. Thank you for doing that in our life, God. We love you and praise you in advance, God. Great things. God, I pray for our brothers and sisters online today. God, everybody watching, Father, I pray right now that you just do an amazing work in his or her life. God, just reveal to them, Lord, who you want them to go to and invite someone into that follow me relationship to make them a great disciple. Show us all how we can make a disciple this year, God. Thank you for doing it, Jesus. Lord, we love you, Father. And we give you praise. In Jesus' name, Jesus' name. If you receive it, say a good amen, amen. Before we pray and go, do this. Will you stand and give Jesus a standing ovation today? Just clap for